Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Wednesday, the 30th of August, 2017. I am Steve. I'm in Leon C in Essex, and we've got a special guest this week. We've got Paolo Boia. He is in America, but he's English. Is that right, Paolo?
That is correct. In America, but English.
Your name's Paolo, so you're going to have to explain that.
It was actually, I'm not Italian. That's usually the first question people ask me. I believe it was my dad just liked the name because of Paolo Rossi.
Right.
So that's where that comes from.
From which World Cup?
I don't know which World Cup that was.
How can you not know? 1982, we got off to a very bad start, Paolo. What's going on? You know, you've got to have a certain amount of knowledge to do this podcast.
I wasn't alive at that time.
Mate, you've got to raise your game. Like, it's the listeners. Like most podcasts, Tottenham podcasts, I say, this is for the fans, you know, this is done by fans for fans. This podcast is different. If you're a fan, you aren't that intelligent, or you want to be on it, you've got to raise your game. Sorry, this podcast is for the directors. This is for the higher Spurs fan. Anyway, only joking.
Yeah.
Well, good to have you on. So, where are you from in England?
Thank you. I grew up in Southgate, so not too far from White Hart Lane.
Okay.
Went to school out in Potter's Bar. A little bit more posh than Southgate was, but I moved out here when I was 21. My dad's American.
Right.
So I have the visa thing, so I don't have to worry about doing all that stuff. So I moved out here back then and married with a kid now, so I'm not allowed to go back.
No, well, but you're living the dream in New York, right?
I wouldn't say the dream. Just outside
New
York.
Living in America. In New Jersey. I love America.
Well, not right now with the the current climate here, but...
I'm talking about the food, really, basically, which we'll get into in a minute. But yeah, so you moved to America, New York or New Jersey?
New Jersey. So I'm about a half hour, 45 minutes from New York.
Okay. And so New Jersey, home of Bon Jovi. Great.
That's right. And Bruce Springsteen. Can't forget about him either.
Right. Okay, cool. And then you're a fitness instructor. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a personal trainer. So, you know, I have my own podcast now. It's about 9 episodes, 10 episodes in, the Fit Pod. So I give a little shout out to that straight away.
Go. iTunes, Fit Pod, yeah. Because when you contacted me and you said, you know, you wouldn't mind giving it a go, I had a little listen. And because I do, you know, a bit of running myself, I thought, oh, I love listening to this. And yeah, very good, very good. And you do it with an American guy there. And
yes.
It's a good listen. And what I thought we'd do is we'll obviously chat about Spurs and over the past week or two, and we've got the transfer window coming up. So we get straight into that. We've got some questions as well from Twitter and a couple on Facebook. So we'll do all that and do our usual thing, you know, back and forth, throwing a couple of things in. I'll throw in a few opinions of my own, you know, what people have said over the last week, and chuck in a couple of little fitness questions as well. How about that?
That sounds good to me.
Right. Well, why don't we start with a fitness question?
All right.
Ready for it?
Go for it.
Doner kebabs.
Nothing wrong with them, really, is there?
Right, come on.
It's all about moderation.
Okay. Tell us more. Everyone's like that. Yes. Can I have a doner kebab? Everyone's listening.
Well, that's it. Just, you know, don't eat too much.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, on the same side, don't eat too little either. You do need calories and energy and stuff. But
is it true that a burger at McDonald's is worse for you than a doner kebab?
I wouldn't know in terms of nutritional breakdown. I don't really trust anything coming out of McDonald's anymore. At least you can kind of see it making the kebab, right? Yeah.
So McDonald's is a no-no for you?
I haven't had McDonald's in years now. And I'm not really a health freak. My diet would be frowned upon by most of these these experts.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, you know, listening to your podcast, it's all fair and well, like, you know, eat this and do this and this, train this way. But for someone like me who's 41, I can't believe it, but I'm 41. And quite frankly, I went through my dieting phase and I've done all these different phases. And now I'm just like, nope, I'm going to drink beer and I'm going to eat doner kebabs, but it's a question of when to have them and how much you can have, because, you know, I'm just not going to give up beer. I'm just not.
I'm the same with that. Beer and wine, that's the last thing to go.
Yeah. But in terms of beer then, that's my second question. What's your advice on drinking beer?
Well, the one thing you do have to watch out with beer is there is a lot of sugar in it.
Okay.
So you do get, not only do you get the fluctuations in your sugar levels, which can make you binge. You know, we've all had the beer hunger.
Yeah.
After about two or three beers, we want to just munch on crisps and stuff. So you're also adding a lot more calories than you are some of the other stuff like wine and...
So drink wine rather than beer?
That's the better way to do it, yeah. There's a lot less sugar in it.
Okay. But yeah. if it's beer, is there a particular type of beer that maybe, you know, keep yourself a little bit more lean, if it's possible?
No, because it doesn't taste good then, does it?
No, right. I mean, Americans drink all that light beer. It's awful stuff.
You know, I've actually found myself drinking more of it too. It's more refreshing.
Yeah.
Nothing's better than a good Guinness.
I mean, I'm not saying after a hard day's work, you know, or if it's boiling hot, go and pour a Guinness or a bitter that's, you know, room temperature. But I mean, have a pint of lager that's not a light lager, I think.
Oh yeah, you know. I mean, yeah, nice Stella or something.
Yeah, lovely. Right, okay. Let's get into football.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like that. That's my contribution to the fitness chat is beer. But
that's it. No, I mean, most people that listen to this, I'm sure, don't do too much, and that's what we want to know. Right. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute because I might ask you a question about Cornish pasties in a minute. Right. I've got a question from Richard Johnson. If you could pick one realistic signing for us, what would that would make a massive difference? Who would it be? So you've been following the transfer window, I'm sure.
Yes.
You know, at the moment, nothing is looking like being very much. You know, the guy from France who's got a history of being a bit of a wally. You know, you can forgive if you want, if not, you know, it's up to you. But if you're struggling with getting a visa, I'm thinking, well, wait there, this is big deal. You know, this could be someone that we definitely don't want, rather than someone that's, you know, just said a few soppy things in his time. But, you know, that one's we're not sure about, the Barkley thing with the injury. Go on, what do you think?
I don't even know what is considered realistic these days. Mm. Just, you know, with the pricing and everything that we're seeing, I really don't know what Spurs are willing to spend for a start.
Well, let's say 50 million. Let's say we've got 50 million to spend on a player, because I don't think we're going to spend more than 50 million.
No, you're right.
So you're looking at Barkley, you're looking at Mahrez, you're looking at maybe a striker, I don't know. I think we're good for defenders, maybe a right back, but what do you reckon?
Yeah, a nice right back would do. I mean, I heard good things about this Pereira fella, but I guess there was some complications with it. He had a third-party ownership, and we know Levy doesn't like dealing with those.
Yeah.
I don't get too worked up about all the transfer stuff, because I really, our first 11 is pretty solid.
Yeah.
Aside from, I think, from that right back situation.
I mean, coming into it, I thought I'll go with Poch's decision on this, and obviously. Carl Walker-Peters played very well in the first game, and then Trippier, who was excellent last season. You know, the thing with him is the spotlight's on him. So yeah, he plays on Sunday, and or the two goals, actually, Chelsea goal and the goal on Sunday, both come from kind of the right hand side, didn't they? So he's under that spotlight, but he's not done too badly. I mean, getting absolutely slated left, right and centre, but I mean, the pressure that the guy's under is more than anybody else. I personally, you know, I don't want to see some, you know, foreign right back come in who's got issues and comes and disrupts the team, whereas you got Kieran Trippier who, yeah, he's going to make a few mistakes, but you know, I thought he was really good last season. And backup is Walker-Peters. If you get a new right back in, then Walker-Peters, what's he going to do? Because he can't play any games, presumably.
Yeah, that's true. I think the thing with Trippier is just stylistically, he doesn't like to take a man on too much. That's the one. I mean, you know, his delivery is great, but just, you know, especially with, having said that, Davies does get to the byline quite a lot.
Yeah.
You know, having someone that's going to get to that byline and, you know, it's taking defenders out of positions, I think, is the key thing there. And I don't think left backs and left centre backs are as worried about him as they would have been with Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Just because of that lack of pace.
I mean, someone just coming, looking at what Chelsea are doing. I mean, Chelsea seem to be bidding for everybody. And I thought, well, surely some of their players will have to go, you know, like a Victor Moses maybe. Does he play on the right wing back?
I think he does, yeah.
I mean, he wouldn't be a bad little, you know, player to come in, presume, you know, tends to dive all over the place, but, you know, if he's doing it for Tottenham, that's all right for me.
It's all right when it's for your team,
you know?
Yeah.
So we see how we get on with that. I mean, you know, Barkley is a player I like. I've talked about him before, but he's injured. And what's the point in buying an injured, someone who's properly injured, who's apparently injured out until Christmas? No point buying him. Unless it's an awesome deal. Unless it's like 20 million. And then you go, fine, 20 million, come along, and you know, you'll be fit by Christmas. But you can't pay 40 million for a guy that's injured. That is ridiculous.
No, especially as we need that depth in that October-November period when we have, you know, the Real Madrid games and Arsenal and Man United and Liverpool in that run too. That's when we need him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And I'm happy for Mahrez, but, you know, 50 million? No, not really. 40 million maybe.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not my money.
It's not our money, but you still think to yourself, blimey, that's a lot of money for a player that's really only had one decent season. Go on.
Yeah, he's a bit of a passenger too.
Yeah.
You know, he'll do a couple of nice things in a game, but I don't think he's going to work for the team.
Yeah, you're buying a sub, aren't you? All the other players in the team play for the team, don't they? You know, and you know, Sonny got 20-odd goals last season. So are you telling me that Mahrez is going to come in and get 20-odd goals? I mean, I don't think Sonny necessarily might do that. And he was terrible on Sunday, by the way. But, you know, if you're buying Mahrez, then you're basically saying, you know, go and sit on the bench, Sonny. And even Mahrez sitting on the bench and possibly coming on, possibly being a higher choice than Sonny. And we like Sonny, don't we?
Oh, I do, absolutely, yeah. He got a bit of stick in it after his first season when he didn't produce as much, but I guess wasn't he injured for most of that?
Yeah, he was. Of course he was. For a big period, yeah. So, Simon Crudence, thoughts on first three games? Are we overreacting? As only a couple of late goals meant that we missed out on a few more points. Also, Harry has missed a couple of chances. We'll talk about Kane in just a second. So, first game, Newcastle. Obviously, we won that. I thought we would have won that anyway, even if it wasn't for the sending off. Second game, Chelsea. Obviously, everybody, we've spoken about that till the cows come home with a better side. I was talking to a Chelsea fan at the weekend, and I sort of said to him, you know, first question then, how do you think we did the other week? And he said, oh, well, you know, we won again. And I said, well, that's interesting, but who do you think are the better side? And he just looked at me and went, Chelsea. And I said, well, that's great. I'll see you later. Because I just can't...
There's no talking to someone.
What's the point? What's the point of having a conversation? And I'm at a barbecue. There's not many people there, 20 people. And it's just a fellow football fan. I think, great, let's have a football conversation. And he looks at me. Chelsea fans tend to do this. They do a little sly, you know. So one bloke once handed me a tissue. He went, there you go, dry your eyes. And I'm like, yeah, very funny. But look, if you're not going to be honest, when I talk to West Ham fans, which is quite often, they are the better side and we might nick it or they might nick it, I'll tell them.
Right.
I'll say, I thought you were the better side. Like when we beat them 3-2 last year, they were miles better than us. We were very lucky to win that game. But you've got to be honest. But there's no point in having that conversation. So we were the better side against Chelsea. And then I'll let you go on the Burnley game. What are your thoughts on the Burnley game, Paolo?
It's a hard one because I feel if some of them chances had gone in, we probably wouldn't be saying it was a bad game for us. Mm. You know, Kane missed the chances he would have scored in September. There were a couple others I'm blanking on. I think we had something like 28 shots.
Yeah.
We're always slow to get going. For whatever reason that is. I feel it's probably just because we rely on our system being so in sync. Everyone has to be on the same page. As soon as one or two of those players are off the pace a little bit, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. We always start slow.
We do. But your first sentence was correct. You know, if we'd have put a couple of those chances away, we would have won. And people say, oh, it's all ifs and buts. Well, yeah, that's what a discussion is. You can say ifs and buts.
Yeah, well, and you've seen it. You score a goal and all of a sudden everyone gets a lift and, you know, they'll try a shot they wouldn't have tried or they'll try a pass they wouldn't have tried because they have a bit more confidence. Things can change real quick during the game.
There was a couple of times when Dembele was running through and he beat a man and the crowd are almost going, go on then, have a go, and he didn't put his foot through it. And you think, oh, come on, put your foot through it, man. You know, and
if we were 2-0 up, he might have tried it.
Dele Alli's not really... you know, he's taking people on, he's showing good touches here and there, but he's not putting his foot through it. Eriksen's not putting his foot through it and having a go. And like you say, you know, when it's 0-0 or 1-0, they haven't got that, you know, they're thinking, actually, there's passes on. And it's like, no, come on, take control yourself, man. You know, go for it. But the pressure, mate, the pressure on those guys, you know, it isn't... That's the biggest thing about Wembley. It's not the fact that it's Wembley, it's a different size pitch, it's a different ground, whatever. It's the pressure. They all know when they get on the ball, wait there, I'm at Wembley, everyone's watching. Do you know what I mean?
And that everyone's expecting them to screw up, you know, because of the whole Wembley curse.
Absolutely, I'll
do their quotations there. But, you know, I don't really buy into that. I think once we get one or two wins on the trot, things will start snowballing for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is, Dele Alli said, didn't he, yesterday, he said, actually, we've been playing really well. I thought, finally someone said something. Because you look at all these pundits, and not one of them has said, actually, Spurs have played three games, they've played well. They've been the better side in all three. If anything, the Chelsea game, we were miles the better side. I mean,
and I think the other problem is we're comparing ourselves to last year when... we had a great run at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It's hard to play that well all the time. That was title winning form.
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, so look, it's one of these things, you know, the other podcast sort of go into more details about intricacies of different parts of the game. I just like to go generally on the whole thing that, you know, with the better side and they scored in the last minute. Again, people blaming Trippier. I thought it was Toby's man, actually, because he's a centre-forward. And, you know, Toby's mistake, you know, if the striker scores, it's the centre-back's fault, you know. But also, Harry Kane should have gone into the corner. Dele Alli was the one that actually gave the ball away. And I didn't think in the last 20 minutes that Dembele and Eriksen... I thought they looked absolutely exhausted, and I thought Poch was at fault because I thought to myself, look, you know, you had faith in Winks last year. In fact, I thought you brought on Winks too early in a lot of games because I wanted to see Dembele play further, play on more. But you had faith in him last season. He also had faith in Janssen, bringing him on with 20 minutes to go, but he brought Winks on very, very late. He didn't bring Janssen on at all. You know, he brought Sissoko on again. Now, I don't know if he's trying to put him in the shop window.
Maybe. You
know, and he did all right when he came on, actually.
Yeah, he was pretty impactful.
You know, he did all right. But I just thought the subs were too late because they looked absolutely exhausted. You know, and I'm up in the gods watching it. I'm thinking, you must see that Dembele is literally, he was playing like Tom Huddleston. He was just in the centre circle, not moving.
Bad,
so, you know... But, you know, it's early days. Again, I've said it before. I don't think we prepare enough in pre-season. You know, we go on these little tours. But who did we play? We played, you know, a couple of half-decent sides. I think, you know, Man United and Chelsea, I think they played about 10 games, didn't they? You know, every time I looked on Sky Sports.
Yeah, they were playing a lot.
It was like another game against the, you know, Real Madrid, I think, played against about 4 games against Barcelona. You know, I've always said that we should play, funnily enough, at Wembley. I think we should play a little round robin tournament with us, Chelsea, West Ham, and Arsenal. I think that'd be a terrific start to a pre-season warm up. You know, and really get that fitness level up and that combativeness.
Yeah, they're definitely up for it.
You know, that aggression, get the fans ready. Because I think even the fans sort of go to those first few games going, well, we might get a result, we might not, but by mid-November we'll be all right. Whereas Jose Mourinho is like, no, first three games, you win them, and then you go from there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
did you go to any games in America?
I went to the, who did we play? We played Roma. I went to that game. Thought we looked all right. It was just the front three looked a bit sluggish.
Yeah.
You know, it's pre-season, so I didn't want to draw too much from it.
Yeah.
And although the one thing that did stick out was I thought some of our young guys looked a little bit out of their depth still.
Yeah.
Which is a bit unfortunate because I quite like, you know, Carter Vickers and Onoma. Hopefully they'll come back from their loans ready to go. But
I'm not convinced on Onoma, I've got to say. I spoke to an Aston Villa fan last week and he said he looks a bit clumsy. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't even know.
We don't have much to go on.
I'm just looking at Sky Sports here. PSG's Serge Aurier granted work permit ahead of £23 million move to Tottenham. I think he's great, don't you? What a great signing.
Football-wise, yes.
We need a right back.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well done, Levy. No, that's just come through. So there you go. Live
transfer deals.
Deals. How about that? A couple more questions here, mate.
Yeah, sure.
Terry Hill, would fourth place finish in league with a moderate couple of cup runs but no silverware be acceptable or a failure this season? And he said, due to the Wembley factor. What do you reckon?
I'd say it would be all right. It wouldn't be the end of the world. I want to see us competing for the league. But I think we do have to have a bit of realism about it. It's a transition.
I like you. You're absolutely saying all the right things. In a minute, you're going to say something really out of order, and I'm going to have a right
guy. Yeah.
But for the moment, you're doing very well. Carry on.
Yeah, it's a transition year. It was always going to be difficult moving to another ground for one season. And next year might be difficult too, adjusting to the new stadium. But hopefully, the atmosphere and everything will keep us in check. So here's I'm a product of the dark days. I grew up in the 90s watching that dross.
Yeah.
So I find it very difficult to complain about where we are now. This is the best I've ever had it.
Yeah.
So I'm just enjoying the ride, waiting for it to come tumbling down.
Yeah. Which for most clubs it does. I mean, most clubs it does. All come, you know, they have, you know, Newcastle. Let's go back 20 years. They had about a 10-year period, didn't they, of being second club. You know, fantastic.
Right.
And you know, for a club the size of Newcastle, they should be competing every year. But you know, I agree. We do all right with these transfers. You know, people like Dele Alli and Dier come in, and you think, you know, what are they all about? And they come good. So, and then we spend millions on a player like Soldado, and he's absolute pants. So it's interesting.
Although I actually thought Soldado was a very good player. He just, I think for a striker, we've seen it with Torres. Once that confidence goes,
yeah, he gave up, mate. He gave up.
Yeah.
When you go to the games and you watch the players off the ball, that's
he would hide. He'd hide. He wouldn't make the front.
Yeah, that's how you get the best impression. And he honestly, he was so similar to Adebayor that it annoys me so much when they say, "Oh, Adebayor used to stroll around up front." Soldado used to stroll around up front with his head down like he just lost his puppy or something. He just looks so disinterested. And then, of course, that's one of the reasons why Harry Kane came on the scene. Because if you remember at the time, it was those two up front. Harry Kane was the third striker and he wasn't getting a look in. And all of a sudden, Harry Kane comes on. And at the time, he, you know, he wasn't up to much. But what he did do is he ran about. And we were like, wow, we've got someone who actually...
Well, and he was putting him in too. I think he scored three in three games and he played on the show.
Yeah, so he came in and started running around and we were like, great, someone who actually runs around up front.
Well, there you go, Soldado, that was £26 million well spent, right? Because if we didn't have him, Kane may have never come through, so...
You've got to look at the other side. Absolutely right. Tom Cousins. Oh, actually, just on that then, look... You know, we had it drummed into us for years that fourth place is like a trophy.
Right.
So fourth place like a trophy. Fourth place. No, it's not. We're going. No, it's not. It's a trophy. It's a trophy. Well, now we're getting Champions League last couple of years. And now it's like, but you've got to win a trophy. Well, wait there. For years and years, we were told that fourth place or getting into the Champions League is like a trophy. Actually, better than a trophy. Because if you ask someone now, would you have fourth or would you have the League Cup? Most people who certainly don't support Spurs would say, well, no, Champions League is far more important than the League Cup. Now, a lot of Spurs fans will say, actually, we want a trophy, me being one of them. But in the grand scheme of things in football, getting into the Champions League is better than winning the League Cup. So it's better than that trophy. And so in effect, in the last few years, we've more or less got what we've achieved. And if we get fourth again this year, then, you know, that'll be great, won't it? It certainly won't be a failure. Especially
we have no right really to be where we are with the budgets that we're competing against.
Absolutely.
We should be fighting for Europa League.
I mean, Liverpool are a disgrace, the amount of money they've spent in the last 2 years. And we've finished above them in 9 out of the last 10, haven't we?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly.
The amount of money that and we'll probably do it again this year.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That feeling of winning a trophy, which I think I've only experienced really 2 or 3 times, there's nothing better than that. It's in a way.
You're right.
But when you step back, like you said, in the grand scheme of things, we need Champions League football to be able to stay where we are if we want to progress, because players won't want to come and play for us on lower wages if we've got nothing to offer in terms of fame or whatever.
That's it. I mean, it's almost like I do listen to TalkSport occasionally or I have chats down the pub. Like I said, I like talking to football to anybody. But it's almost like, go on then, what's the rules? What are the rules, Arsenal fans? What do we need to do this year? Like, you talk to a Tottenham fan, you go, oh, do you know what? Like this, going to Wembley. I had a great time on Sunday. Took my boy, we went up there, we got on the train, we had a lovely lunch, a sea of Spurs fans everywhere, we get in the ground, great seats, you know, it's a huge stadium, and I'm thinking, I'm watching my beloved Tottenham at this, you know, the home of football, Wembley Stadium. They come out, first half not that great, get a goal, they lose a goal in the last minute, and we come away, and I get home and talk to a couple of mates, and they're like, oh yeah, no, it's rubbish, wasn't it? And I go, what was rubbish? Well, all that Wembley stuff, you've no point going. And I'm like, wait there, I left home at 12 o'clock, and I got home at 8 o'clock. So for those 8 hours, apart from, you know, the last minute of the game, and, about an hour afterwards when you're seething, finally you sort of get over it. Apart from that, no, actually, because the first 7 hours was absolutely brilliant, the first 6 hours was absolutely brilliant. You know, with my boy and experience the whole thing. You know, a lot of podcasts talking about Wembley being not a football stadium. It's not this, it's not that. Well, do you know what? Get over it. Get over it. We're there. We're there for a season. We're not at Milton Keynes. And people saying, we should have gone to Milton Keynes. What are you talking about? That's and it's got nothing to do with the franchise being Milton Keynes. You know, you might as well go, I'll tell you what, we'll go to Charlton. We'll go to the Valley. And play there because we can't win at Wembley. Shut up. Wembley is the home of football and we are privileged to play a season there. So get over it and embrace it and enjoy it. And by the way, if you got tickets to go to Wembley, get up there and get there early because all the restaurants and bars are packed full of Spurs fans.
That's always a good thing. Yeah, I mean, I think even Poch said it. Like, as a kid growing up, for him, it was always a dream to play at Wembley. So, I've heard from friends. My dad still has a season ticket. Getting to Wembley is not a fun thing for the most part, but it's hopefully.
Mate, I walked down to the train station. It took me 10 minutes. Okay, I get on a train that goes to West Ham. Get off at West Ham, get on a tube. Then there's about 20 stops up to Wembley.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Sorry, why is that a pain? Why? What's the problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess getting to the lane was never a, a fun experience either, I guess.
Well, it's just you get on a train, you know, you drive. The only reason that I drove was just because of the train system wasn't great. But even if I got the train, you just get on a train and stop. It's not like you're getting on, you know, I don't get it. Oh, it's a nightmare to get there. What, getting on a tube and sitting down? Or having to, oh no, I have to stand on a tube full of Spurs fans. What a disaster. I mean, get over it. And then you get out and you walk up to the top of Wembley Park and then you're confronted with this amazing stadium in front of you, which is absolutely wonderful. Oh, this is rubbish. What are you talking about? It's absolutely fantastic. Go on, Paolo.
Yeah, I mean,
have you got 20 games? Have you got anything lined up?
I haven't got any plans to come over. I'm definitely going to try for next season when we're hopefully in the new stadium. I mean, and that's the thing is Spurs have millions of fans worldwide that would kill to get to go and see the team every week. So, you know, again, a little bit of realism.
Yeah.
We get to go and watch our team. That's better feeling.
I listened to this guy on this podcast the other day and he said, I was sitting there and I had 3 empty seats to one side, 2 to the other ones. Behind me was a load of Americans. In front of me was people that have clearly never been to Tottenham before. And, you know, and I'm thinking, I don't even know who sat next to me. I couldn't even tell you if the seat next to me was empty or not. What do I care about people who sit around me? Unless somebody is literally got a red hot poker and he's poking me in the side of the ear, what do I care whether people who are sitting around me? And by the way, I would quite like a nice American family to be sitting behind me. Better than listening to the rubbish that Tottenham fans spout out.
Oh, yeah. Where my season ticket was in the Paxton, I had some guy behind me that would commentate the whole game.
Exactly.
That's a lot of work. Having someone like that is worse than tourists.
Some nice American lady with her 2 sons and a husband. Oh, isn't this fantastic or whatever? You know, yes, it is. Rather than, oh, bloody move your butt. What are you doing? Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, so, listen, I've been to America and I've been to a couple of sports games. And I could just imagine, like, sitting there in a stadium and someone saying, excuse me, are you English? You're like, yeah, you're like, well, you shouldn't be here. You know, sorry, if you're not from Oakland, you shouldn't be coming to watch the Oakland Raiders. Or
I know, they're actually a little bit too much to the other side here, though, because I went to watch a Giants game. They were playing against the Jets.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be rivals, and right. they all just sit with each other. I'm telling my American friend, I'm like, this is really weird for me. I would never be sat next to an Arsenal fan or a Chelsea fan.
But they don't watch the games, though, in American sports. They would just get up and, like, go and get food and ice creams and because of all the timeouts and stuff. You can't actually sit there and watch a whole, like, quarter or a whole half without someone coming along with... But you can have beers in your seats, though, can't you?
Yeah, that's a nice thing.
Because people behave themselves.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Whereas our dads didn't behave themselves, not yours.
Yeah, we're paying the price, yeah.
Unfortunately, my dad and many other of our dads didn't behave themselves in the 70s and 80s, so we're paying the price for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we've got any more questions here. Just going through, I don't think I've got any more questions. If you have sent me a question on Facebook or Twitter, by the way, and I haven't read it out, literally have a go at me, send it again or send a different question and just say, hey, listen, you didn't send it out, you idiot, and I'll respond. So apologies if I don't read them all out. But let's just have a look through here at any other information. We've got this Sanchez in, £42 million. You know, I had to Google him. Sorry, Danny Rose, but I did have to have a look. But actually, you know, if you follow European football and stuff, he's scored a few decent goals and he's a decent enough player.
Well, I feel like we have been crying out for a pacey centre back.
Yeah.
As much as I love Jan and Toby, because we play that high line, if we get caught, I'm sitting there scared out of my mind that no one's going to catch whoever's broken through.
And if one of them gets injured.
That too, yeah.
You got Wimmer. I mean, Wimmer was terrific a couple of seasons ago, but really looked off it last year. £18 million to Stoke. Happy with that?
How can you not be? I've given up on trying to understand what values are in this transfer market because £18 million used to get you a good winger.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, so it seems like an upgrade, which is what we want, isn't it? We want these upgrades.
I think Poch said it best, that we want players that are going to push the starting 11 and keep them on their toes. Mm. So.
Which Wimmer definitely didn't do. But exactly. I wish him all the luck in the world. And
yeah, you know, like a nice guy.
Seems a nice fella. So that's that one. Ali, I don't know why he didn't celebrate his goal against Burnley.
People were reading too much into that.
The one thing I will say about Ali is there was this tweet that went round about the wages that people are on. Ali's only on about, it sounds weird, but I think he's on less than 50 grand a week. And quite frankly, I think he is one that possibly could say, listen, you know, I'm one of the top, you know, in our side, we've got sort of five or six definite starters. You know, all the others sort of, yeah, maybe, you know. But with Ali's a definite starter. And I think for him, he might have to sort of say, not, you know, you have to be careful about it, but I do think he needs more money.
Definitely.
If Harry Kane and Lloris are on 100 grand a week and, you know, the other guys are on 80, 90, I think being on 45 is a bit too... I think we've got to be careful. That's all I'm saying. I think we've got to be careful because... Someone like Ali, you know, I think he probably possibly had a not great upbringing, and you know, for someone like him, you know, it will be about money as well, because you know he wants to give it to his family and you know have a nice life and stuff.
I do wonder. I'm not privy to a lot of the contract stuff. I know I follow quite a few people on Twitter that claim to know a bit more details about it, but I do wonder if we have a deal with the players where we don't take a lot of their image rights, you know, so that when they do all their sponsorships and stuff, we don't get a cut of it, or as much of a cut as typical. So he's been doing a lot of promotions, and he might be making a few million from that, and that'll be keeping him happy.
I agree
that he should be in the hierarchy of wages for our team, definitely.
Yeah, I just wonder why he did have a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
I think he was annoyed that he hadn't scored yet. I genuinely think he was just annoyed that it took a tap in like that.
Yeah, possibly. So let's just have a look on anything else here. I don't know about this fourth guy from Argentina. Again, he's, you know, people saying he's taking ages to come over and everything. I don't even sort of, I look at these rumours and I just go, okay, and I just ignore it until there's something concrete. Like this transfer of this Aurier. I haven't really looked into it that much. And then it sort of says, you know, he's got his work permit. Now I'm thinking, right, now it seems to be something to look into.
Oh, yeah. We didn't know anything until it was in the papers back in the day. I remember flipping over the paper and seeing we'd signed Jürgen Klinsmann.
Yeah. Where were you? Now, you must have been young then. How old were you when you signed him?
What year did we sign him? I was born in 86, so I was young.
94.
Yeah, so I was about eight. He was one of my first idols.
Because what happened was he played the World Cup in America, and I remember him playing and sitting with my dad and going, God, I hate that Jürgen Klinsmann. And my dad going, yeah, he's horrible, isn't he? Look at him dying.
Everyone.
And then he scored four. One in particular, magnificent goals, and it was kind of like, he's brilliant though, isn't he? And then all of a sudden, about a month later, we'd signed him, and it was like, I was in Spain, and I remember dancing around the apartment, and I, you know, absolutely fantastic, and of course he was terrific for us. Alderweireld said Wembley's not to blame. Well, I mean, you know, not to blame for what? Because we played two games there, we've been the better side. You know, that's the best we've played against Chelsea for years. We were brilliant. Maybe the 2-0 last year, but we had so many chances. And then if we'd have just stuck one more chance against Burnley, that would have been fine. Ali's also saying Spurs are playing well at Wembley. Just looking through these headlines here.
There's definitely no curse with Wembley, but I do think it can affect a player just the little things like the subconscious knowing where you are on the pitch, and when it starts getting...
We've got Swansea next and we need to win that game, don't we?
Oh, if, yeah. I mean,
that's you don't need to. Like you say, there's no, you know, you don't need to. But play well. I'm sure we'll play well. But get a result, for goodness sake.
Yeah, in that one. I'm sure once the transfer window is settled, everyone will get into the groove of it. I mean, I have a little bit of ITK. A very good friend of mine's very good friend is the agent of one of our players.
Right.
I remember him telling me last season, at the beginning of the season, the mood at the training ground and in the squad was really, really bad. Everyone, they were really off the pace because of the way they ended the season at Newcastle.
Yes.
And there was just a bad feeling around. And then I remember hearing that and being, oh my God, we're going to have a terrible season. But we turned it around. Everyone got into the groove. And
yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it is that whole first, but, you know, I'm saying all this, but then I'm thinking, but we're playing well.
Well, that's the thing. We are playing well. We're not playing like we did at the end of last season, but we're playing well.
Yeah. What about, here's a question for you. Why would Raheem Sterling say, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, I'll go to Arsenal as part of this deal with Sanchez?
I don't know why anyone would go to Arsenal, and that's not just because I absolutely hate them.
But why would you go from Man City, who are probably going to win the league, and say, yeah, I'll be part of the Sanchez deal, and go to Arsenal, and agree to go to Arsenal?
Well, is he from London?
Well,
I think he is, right?
Maybe, and he was at Liverpool, obviously, as a kid.
Yeah, I think he's from London, and he probably figures if Sanchez is coming in, that means his place is going to be on the bench. And
he just scored the winning goal at Bournemouth.
Yeah, good.
He starts all the games, as far as I can see. Anyway, I think breaking news is that he said, "No thanks."
Yeah.
Don't involve me in any of these transfer rumours. I'm staying at Man City. Thanks.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's fun to watch. You know, the one thing about the Spurs thing is it's fun to watch Arsenal sort of imploding. But as I always say, watch out for the next 10 games, because when it looks as if they're imploding, they all of a sudden go and win the next 10 games. That Giroud, they say, Giroud's rubbish, Giroud. And Giroud goes and scores two goals in the next game.
That's what I love about Arsenal fans, is they just, they hate all the wrong players in their squad. Like, yeah. I'd love to have a Giroud. Obviously, I wouldn't now because he's been wearing that shirt so long. But he's a great, especially as an impact sub. We don't have any players that will come on and score as many goals as he does.
Yeah. I mean, they've got this massive, oh, we've got this defensive problem. We haven't got a centre-back. Well, sorry, but every single time I've seen Per Mertesacker play, he's been solid as you like. I know he's not the quickest, but he's a, you know, like they say, a BFG. And, well, just why don't you put him back in defence rather than sopping around with Monreal or whatever? Put him back in your defence then. You've got him on your books.
Play some centre-backs, yeah.
Right, I mean, I always sort of get to the end of these shows and forget about a million things that I want to say. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Spurs?
No, there's not really much to talk about right now. We've only had three games. People are panicking. I think we need to just relax a little bit. We've been here plenty of times.
I wrote three notes here. I wrote my Wembley experience, which I've said, you know, we left nice and early. We got up there. We had a bit of lunch. It was fantastic. Now, we're not going to do that every time. Otherwise, it'll cost me a fortune.
Yes.
You know, what we'll do is we'll leave a little bit later. We'll probably have a few, you know, pack lunch, eat it on the way up there, go in the stadium and watch the game and then come straight home. You know, we're not going to do it every time. And maybe that's, you know, the Wembley thing. Maybe when everybody's calmed down a little bit and just gone, right, you know, 10 or 11 games in, we go, right, okay, Wembley again. You know, we won't do the whole getting there 2 hours before everyone, you know, nervous and everyone, you know, going to all the restaurants. People will just go, right, we're going to watch a football match. Get on with it. And it's the same with the players. You know, 10 or 11 games in, they might think, you know, we're going to Wembley again, and not like, oh, we're going to Wembley. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, my goodness. You know, it's like, well, we're going to play a football match. Let's just get on with it. You know what I mean? So hopefully that might be one thing. And one other little thing I put here, Poch wears a tracksuit in a lot of games where he's not on telly and where it's not against one of the bigger sides. Is there anything in that?
I don't know if we'd be reading too much into that. I mean, the thing is, he's always on TV. Over here, I get to watch every single game.
Yeah.
on TV.
That's why American fans have it better than the English fans, because we have to watch it on dodgy streams, and you just put on your Fox Sports or whatever, and it's all on there, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, we had to put up with Steve McManaman for a few years. That was pretty tiring. But
yeah.
Actually, talking of American fans, I do actually want to, in defense of foreign fans, because they get a lot of stick, particularly on Twitter, for not being real supporters.
Rubbish.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, they get it. I think there is a slight, you're not going to get that deep hatred of certain teams, and you're not going to quite understand a rivalry if you haven't grown up in the area and had stick at school from people. But at the same time, there are people like the Hotspur America people, the Dallas Spurs and all those support groups that I'm aware of, they get it. But they understand.
I mean, you go to the bars there. I've seen all the YouTube clips. You go to the bars there, and you've all got your own bars in different cities in all across America, and you're all singing the songs, and you're all going absolutely mad when they go, much more than pubs in England.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're and far more passionate in when you go watch your bands.
Yeah. You know, and I grew, I think there is a slight, we're better than you because we go to the games feeling.
That's rubbish.
Right. I mean, I did that. I worked at Spurs for 2 years. I used to work in the match day store when we played at home. I had a season ticket growing up until I started working at the club. I don't feel like I'm a better fan than anyone else.
No way. You listen to a lot of these podcasts, though, Paolo, and these like true Spurs fans, they'll say things like, oh, I'm not going this week because I've got to go and see my girlfriend. Or I'm not, I don't go to the games anymore because I'm going to a V festival. Or I'm not going to not going to the games anymore because I don't like Daniel Levy. Well, sorry, how does that make you a better Spurs fan than someone like me, who quite honestly will go through anything, absolutely anything?
Oh yeah.
Because the alternative is going shopping in Lakeside with the missus, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Right? So,
exactly.
No, sorry. People who say, oh, if this happens or that happens, I'm not going anymore. Well, sorry, what are you going to do instead?
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to Tottenham, whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, Spurs come
and
first.
I'm lucky enough to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So, absolutely. Cornish pasties. All right.
Yeah, they're fine. Everything's fine. And the funny thing is, actually, I always tell people pizza is actually probably one of the best in terms of, macronutrient breakdowns and fat, carbs and proteins, probably one of the best.
Deep
you just can't
pan,
eat too much
deep
of it.
Deep pan or thin?
Yeah, it's not deep pan. There's too many carbs in that.
Okay.
But yeah, thin crust, you're fine.
Oh, I know what you said that I liked. You said if you're training for marathons or long distance, you cannot do a low-carb diet.
No.
Got to have the carbs. And I was like, see? I played that to my missus and I said, see? I've got to have the carbs.
Yeah, you need the energy.
What sort of carbs? What? No, tell me some bad, tell me a couple of bad carbs.
Well, it's all about the simple sugars. It's all about what spikes your sugar levels quicker than other carbs do.
Okay.
Most processed foods.
Someone said to me, have bread, but don't have baguettes.
Oh, that's just nonsense. Bread's bread.
All right. Brown bread, white bread? In America, you've got about 25 different breads, don't you?
Yeah. Well, do you know what the scary thing about bread is over here? Growing up, the bread would go moldy.
Yeah.
You keep bread. I'm always putting out, you leave two or three slices and start a new thing. I'm always putting out old bags from months ago and there's no sight of mold on it. I'm like, what have they put on this thing that mold doesn't want to grow on it?
Oh, God. No, honestly. You get a loaf of sunblist here and it's gone within a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great. Do you go to that New York deli that Man vs. Food goes to? What's that called, Cats or something?
No, I didn't. I think actually, though, a couple of my friends came over a few months ago and went there.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten over there.
Do you watch Man vs. Food?
No, I don't.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, I know the place you mean.
No, but you know the guy Adam Richman.
Yeah, he's a Spurs fan. He's not a West Ham fan, isn't he?
I met him at the last game of the season last year. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. He goes to me. He goes to my boy. He said, "Oh, your dad did the one of the best interviews I've ever done." I was like, "Oh, made my summer." But then, then I put the picture on Twitter and he didn't retweet it. I was like, oh, I've upset him. So good. All right. Great. Well, thanks for coming on. I've enjoyed that.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, good. So just say again your podcast.
It's The Fit Pod. Fit Pod's all one word. The whole thing with it is there's too much misinformation in the fitness industry. We're trying to give you the truth.
It is. And one of the things you said, I know about the DVDs, you get the insanities and all that sort of stuff. How do they know what your body type is like?
Talking of those, the P90X, I have three clients that before I started training them all injured their knees. They had to have surgery.
Yeah.
from doing that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, look, mate, I've really, really enjoyed it. We'll have you on again, definitely.
Yeah, love to.
On your next podcast or one of your podcasts coming up, I think the Spurs fans would really appreciate a good old one about fast food, what you can have, what you can't have, when you can have it, things like that.
The ultimate football stadium diet.
One for the beer drinkers. One for your everyman who can't walk past the Greggs without diving in and having an apple Danish or whatever.
Definitely.
All right, buddy.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. So, we've got Swansea coming. Obviously, we've got these England games coming up, which I'm enjoying a little bit more now. Now you don't have to watch people like John Terry and, people like that planning an England shirt, which just makes you embarrassed. Now you watch a load of Spurs players.
Well, there's more Spurs players, that's it, yeah.
It's a lot more, much more enjoyable to watch. Then we've got Everton, isn't it, coming up. You never know with Everton. They start off the season pretty well, buy a load of players, and then go to Chelsea and just don't even bother. I mean, it's just pathetic. It's pathetic. You look at that and go, oh, Everton, they've got a decent side now. Koeman, he's good. Go to Everton, don't even turn up. Don't even bother. You think, are you going to bother? I'll tell you what, I bet you they bother against Tottenham next week.
Well, that's how Leicester won the league.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone was playing a cup final against us, and then we they go to Leicester and fall over and roll over for them.
I know. Speaking to another fan on the other day, I know you're a Spurs fan, but you must have been happy when Leicester won. Well, why would I be happy if Leicester won? Well, because it's a side that haven't won anything for years. I said, when was the last time Spurs won something?
He said,
I don't know. And I said, well, what about if Spurs would have won it? Oh, no, because you're a big club. Oh, are we now? So would you mind telling everybody
club.
I speak to when I talk about Tottenham, they say, oh, you're not a big club anymore and you haven't been for years. So which is it? We are a big club or we're not?
Exactly.
All right, mate. Lovely jubbly. Well, we'll have you on again very soon. And, come on you Spurs.
Yes.